Welcome to these Tubules Chats, where we actually go and know the people behind the people. Well, normally I say a person behind the person, but we have more than one person here today. And we've been filming basic life support and medical emergencies today. Have you had a great day, Lynn and Charlie?
It's been a brilliant day. It's lovely. And,
it's been awesome working with you. Lynn and Charlie have been providing learning content for Tubules from basic life support to extended life support. We've done first aid. We do the deteriorating patient. And I just love that interactive, fun style. But what I also enjoy the most in the way you deliver it is just the way you go, like off the cuff. I can tell you about something. You just go like you're a textbook. I mean, where does that come from?
Well, I think also if you're dealing with a real emergency, you haven't got time to go and read up on it. You do it spontaneously. And it's easier for me perhaps because this is all I'm doing, whereas if you've got to know everything about dentistry as well, it's not so easy. But ideally, if you do the training every year and practice as often as you possibly can, then it becomes spontaneous when you're in a real situation. And just a few hours before it happened, if someone asked you to say what you do, you wouldn't have a clue. But when it happens, you go into automatic pilot and you do it.
You just kick in, really, isn't it? How did you get into training? Because you do a lot of training for dental practices, both of you and across the country, yeah. Really.
Well, we do. I mean, I'm an RGN. I did anaesthetic nursing for many years, but I also did community nursing when my children were small, which I absolutely loved. So I know from a community viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And I started off in the training department when I decided I'd had enough of hands-on, if you like, nursing. And I went in initially as the NVQ coordinator for the nursing assistants doing their NVQ. But when they found that I could also teach resuscitation, I suppose through the anaesthetics, I got sort of known for airway control. I got roped into that and they then put me through a teacher's training. So I then became a resuscitation officer. At one point, I was looking after two big community NHS trusts and absolutely loved the teaching. So when I finally retired from the NHS, it made sense to start my own training company.
And you've carried that on. And where did you come into the picture, Charlie?
I kind of learned Lynn's scripts, if you like. Oh, yes. It isn't scripted, but it's almost as if it is because it's repetition.
Yes.
And you learn, not exactly parrot fashion, but you do learn to express things. Both of us were musical performers in the first place, so that helped. So we'd always been used to having a sort of like a stage presence and being able to project and not being scared of an audience.
Publicly speaking, I think it's what
you
mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we can have a lecture theatre in a university, for example, full of 40, 50 students sometimes. And it's great because they interact with you as well.
Yes.
You always bounce back off people. You learn things off people's experiences. And I think a lot of it is remembering what they tell you, learning from them, or not, as the case may be. It may be learning something negative, so it may be learning how not to do something.
Yes.
It's both sides, isn't it? It's always knowing what to do, and sometimes you go, actually, let's not do it that way.
Also, we'd always wanted to work together because, you know, we have that sort of relationship, and it was finding something in common, if you like.
But I have to say also, Charlie is an extremely competent first aid instructor. So when we started our own training company, I decided we needed to be nationally accredited to do the recognised first aid courses. And he went and did a teacher's training as well.
Training,
so we both have teaching qualifications. And I said, well, I haven't got time to run the first aid side of it. I'll teach with you on it. But, mm-hmm. you know, the resus, keeping up to date with the resus councils. So he manages that arm of the business. I manage this arm of the business. And our daughter-in-law does our admin. So it's a real family business.
Complete. Is it dental? You've said university and dental practices that you go to and medical?
GP surgeries. GPs. We do some specialist children's services, scope schools. We do adults with acquired brain injury. We do quite specialist stuff sometimes. I also teach things like medication, how to give medication, administration of buccal midazolam to carers of people with acquired brain injury. So it's quite a mixed bag. We do all the healthcare courses, the physios, OTs, podiatrists at the university, because they all have to do annual life support.
Everybody's got to, and I think it's an important life skill to have. I think everyone should do it, really, isn't it? But one of the interesting things, and we were speaking about this earlier, is we all know the facts, and we all know we've got to do this. When I say no, we've got to know, and can be read from a book. But it's the little stories that you come out, because you've had experiences of different things, the sort of practical life tips in this, which I really enjoy. Have you got a collection of these?
Yeah, I mean, things do stay in your mind. I don't have them written down, they're up here. But I think a lot of any learning, when you're learning anything, is down to application. I think, to be honest, any fool can stand up and spout what you do. But it's getting the students inspired enough to know how they can apply it to what they do and when they need to apply it. And for me, it's always been taking it from real life experiences. So they logged in my little computer brain and they spring to mind when they're needed. But I also find them a good learning tool because people can relate to real life experiences.
I think it's putting things into context. Yeah. Because if you know why you've got to do something and why it works, if you know how it works or why it works, anaesthetics is a good point, actually, because actually nobody knows how anaesthetics works, they just know it does.
But they do, yes.
You know, it does work. But it's putting things into context. So, for example, we've been teaching parish councils, for example, where they've got a public access defibrillator, and to put it into context to the public that are coming along to actually see what we're doing, we're teaching them basic life support as well, because then they know at what point you'd actually kick in with a defibrillator, how to apply it, and what it's actually doing.
And talking about stage training that you did, you were actually very good at acting today when the scenarios, I think...
I think, from our point of view, we are teaching a serious subject, but we're teaching it every day. And because we're teaching it every day, potentially it could get quite depressing because it's actually a very serious subject. We do treat it seriously, but we have to make light of it. Yes. In a way, we're not cracking jokes as such, but we are at least able to bounce off each other.
I think the brain shuts out things that are unpleasant and remembers the pleasant things. So if you can make it a bit interesting and sometimes
also
humorous,
over the top acting,
it's the best way to engage, really, isn't it? And what I mean, because this keeps you really busy. But what about outside of training? Like, do you get much time to do things you enjoy?
Not as much time as I'd like. We both have hobbies in common, but also separate hobbies. I mean, I have horses. I love horses. I carriage drive a heavy horse who lives on my friend's farm. He farms 55 acres entirely by heavy horse, so I've learnt to harrow the land. I drive a pair of big heavies and we do rolling of a 7-acre field, rowing up the hay. But I've also got a little rescue that turns out to be a real dressage diva, so we're competing at dressage.
You've got hobbies.
Both of us met actually through playing music. So I play guitar, play most stringed instruments, really enjoy playing music. These days, a lot of what we do, though, we've both got radio shows for an internet radio station, Radio Bexhill.
Which you host it, do you?
Yeah, we've got a show each day of the week. Actually, we've both got a weekday show and a weekend show.
But they are pre-recorded, so we're not
so so one of my other jobs, if you like, is actually editing those radio programs, because while we've both got a show, Lynn is not an expert at doing the editing bit. But I used to use open reel tape back in the old days. Well. So I was used to literally cutting and splicing tape.
Was that just after the wax cylinders?
Just a bit after that, yes, absolutely.
And what's the radio show called? Or where do the internet?
Well, I've got one called Remember This, which is basically music from down the decades, and I try and pick some of the most obscure tracks that I can find. Everyone else plays the hit records, I'll play a few of those because it's good to have some stuff you know. But I think it's also good to have some stuff that is. Do you know what? I'd forgotten that one. Yes. And I think if people can say that, you know, do you know what was? I was in Marbella when they played that. Or it brings back a memory somewhere.
So something special about music, isn't it? Yeah. You hear a tune, definitely, and it takes you down into some holidays, some distance, some
brings
experience.
People together.
And then I've also got a show that they call Flatliners. Well, we called it Flatliners, which basically is talking about, it's featuring a deceased artist. So it might be Elvis Presley, it might be Warren Zevon last week. Now, a lot of people won't have heard of him. And I think that is the interesting thing, because you research it, you actually play some of his music. Some people will never have heard him in it, you know, or may just have heard one or two tunes.
That's
and
right.
It's nice to put that into context. Just an hour show and got a quite a big listenership, actually.
Have you? Around the world?
Well, yes, absolutely. As a station, we attracted, I'm just trying to think of the exact figures.
It was 300,000.
It was about 200,000 in February.
But 300,000 in January.
No, that's not every day. That's throughout the month. But, you know.
That is still a popular
But we have huge listenership in, of all places, Japan, Turkey, Australia.
Canada.
And I host a lunch, Bexhill's Price of Brunch is called. It's a lunchtime show. And I'm the Jeremy Vine of the station. So I interview local people with local issues. I get the councillors on opposing sides to sort of... and sometimes our local MP, and I stir it all up and light the blue touch paper and sit back and let it roll with a few tunes in between. But then at the weekends, it's pure self-indulgence because I play classical chill out, which is just classical music, and I'm a great lover of early English Baroque type music.
So J.S. Bach is too mainstream for you?
No, I like Bach. I do like Bach.
I play a bit of Bach.
Play sort of John Blow and just all the Vivaldi, great fan of Vivaldi.
Yeah, I think that period I felt was, it's almost like there's a sense of very good structure, very good music. It's not haphazard. There's a sense of romanticism at that point, right? It was really nice.
And slightly simpler instruments.
Yes,
correct. So, I think. Well, there were more quartets or and sort of ensembles, right?
And that's right. And well, there's a joke about Beethoven. They said to him that, please don't go into music. And he just didn't listen, did he?
Well, he couldn't. He was deaf.
Yes. So I think it's interesting. Yeah, and last time we were together, you also had a greyhound, which you've raised. So is the greyhound also a rescue?
He is the love of my life. He's a rescue. Now, he in particular is a Galgos because he came from Spain. And it was just that we lost our old dog after many years. And, you know, they don't live as long as we do, which they're too good for this world, dogs. They're so lovely. And my daughter-in-law saw him advertised online, and it was just his face and his eyes were appealing to me. And when I heard that they don't treat them as kindly in Spain as we do here, I've always rescued from this country, but it had to be Spain. I'd never had a greyhound before, but they're so calm and gentle. And it took us 3 months to get him over because it was in COVID. We had to bring him over. He had to be driven down through France. And he was 7 kilos underweight. He'd had broken toes. He'd got a rotten tooth. And first thing I did was took him to the vet, and she said, well, we need to take tooth out, but he's got to put weight on first. So we put weight on him as safely and as quickly as we could, which involved lots of sardines and eggs added to his food, and he didn't seem to mind. And once he'd reached target weight, she took the tooth out, cleaned all the others, his toes had healed beautifully. And he is just the nicest person, the nicest dog.
He cleans
dog.
His teeth with a toothbrush every morning.
Well, they've got these special dog toothbrushes,
yeah,
don't they?
It's a
with
dog
two
toothbrush
there,
and
yeah.
it's a
We
dog
were going to use
toothpaste.
Our oldest son's toothbrush, but...
No, but the thing is, they get gum disease like we do. And yes. I wanted to ward off the gum disease, so I get rid of as much plaque as I can. And then when he goes for his annual jabs, we have his nails trimmed and we have his teeth de-plocked and checked. And he sleeps 22 hours out of 24. No trouble whatsoever.
Ah, oh, that's a very laid-back hound as well.
He can hit 0 to 45 miles an hour in about 2 seconds flat.
And when he goes,
and
he
fast. Will just go for about 7 or 8 minutes, and then he's absolutely...
Then he's done.
Absolutely he burns done everything out fairly quickly.
Absolutely done.
Well, I mean, that's quite nice, because you're teaching people how to save humans. You like rescuing and saving... horses and animals as well, and you enjoy your music. It sounds like a very artistic way of living.
It's a very busy way of living.
It's a busy way of living, yes.
We don't have time for boredom.
I mean, I was a frustrated vet because I always wanted to be a vet when I was a little girl, but my father was very Edwardian in his views and his age. And he was just simply not having it. You know, it's not a ladylike thing to do. So I ended up going into nursing, which was probably far worse. See far worse things in nursing as an innocent 18-year-old than I would have done in veterinary care. But I wouldn't have made a good vet because I would probably be on a murder charge for some of the owners by now. However, I get my kicks from the animals by rescuing them.
I've got to take this one. It's normally the banker. And he's still not given us any money yet.
Oh, no.
It's always a question. Yeah. Same question again. Who or what inspires you? So much to choose from.
Yeah. Well, I think initially
When I was a child, people said teaching, and you always thought of school teaching, and I would not have coped with that, didn't like that. I have taught some rather naughty children that were on a sort of boot camp, basic first aid, and it was okay, it was rewarding, but I wouldn't want to do it. But when I first started teaching, I was asked if I would do a talk on anaesthetics. That's how it really started. Just do a talk on the history of anaesthetics. And I did that, and so many people said, oh, you've got such a good voice, I could listen to you for hours, blah, blah, blah. So I got involved in radio. And, you know, they then needed an NVQ coordinator. I wanted to get into teaching, so I went for the training department. But when I found that they were buying in resuscitation training, I thought, no. So I had done an advanced life support course for the anaesthetic. So I renewed that and started teaching. And the inspiration came from the fact that it was so rewarding when people were coming up and saying, oh, do you know, I was on a flight and somebody had chest pain, and because of your training, I knew what to do. And, you know, it's just really rewarding because it was, I mean, I had obviously been a resuscitation officer, but it was like saving lives by proxy when you teach.
Yes, correct.
So although I felt too old to run around physically doing it now, I'm still involved in that.
It's that thing where it's give a person a fish or teach them how to fish, and this is what you're amplifying right across the board, isn't it? Where's so Charlie?
They're pretty much the same thing. I mean, we had an ambition, if you like, to work together, because I've been self-employed for a while. I've done a few other jobs as well, but it was nice always to work together because we do get on well. We're still talking after 40
years. If we leave the house 40 together.
40 years, is that right?
Yeah, we've actually known each other 40 years this year.
We've been married
40 years next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, been married 40 years.
And I mean, if you leave the house together, you don't have to kiss each other goodbye. So there's a bonus.
That's right, isn't it? So I think there's another course on the way, how to survive and live together for 40 years. It'd be useful for a lot of people.
Laugh at the same things helps.
Yes.
I think take life seriously.
Don't
take yourself too seriously. Learn by your mistakes and know when to say sorry. And also know when to shut up.
Yes, I think, those are very, very useful ways. Actually, on that note, those are good ways to end this nice little chat we've had. I genuinely say thank you so much for everything you do for
thank
us
you.
In Tubules, because we get feedback from so many people who say this is amazingly brilliant training, they enjoy it, they get that, exactly what you said, they get that inspiration, that life out of
that's
it.
That's what and it's all about.
Yeah. You've made a serious topic fun, exciting, engaging. So let's not take life too don't take everything too seriously, but do take basic life support training seriously, right?
Do, and do make sure you debrief if you have to deal with a real situation. It's so important to talk about it as a team afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's important as well. I hope you've enjoyed that talk. Look at the series, enjoy it and learn from it. But if there are any questions, if you wish to bring Lynn and Charlie across to your practice to do the training, get your team energized and just have fun learning about some really essential skills we all need in practice every day. They're always available. Enjoy and thank you for listening.